And that made me think of Mario Kart. Hey guys, welcome back. It is the Star Wars Report podcast, episode 284 for Monday, June 5th. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad that you've decided to join me. Or as I should say, so glad you've decided to join the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the bad Irish accents have begun, because that's what we're talking about on this podcast. My trip to Skellig Michael, and of course to Ireland, and the Star Warsiness that happened there, as well as new details on the Han Solo film and the vehicles used. Will Luke and Leia reunite in Episode 8? We think so, but we'll talk more about that. 501st turns 20, and just how big a role will Leia have in Episode 9? That's the big question, and so much more. Let's get started with the Star Wars Report podcast right now. Hey, guys. How we doing? How we doing?
Are you talking to us?
Oh, wait, I need to introduce you. Hey, I'm going to start with him this time. I feel like he deserves it. Normally I start with my buddy Mark, but it's Bruce Gibson, the helmsman, I'm going to say, of the Star Wars Report podcast these last 3 weeks and episodes. Everything good, everything bad, all the emails I will forward you soon. That was all you. Congratulations, sir.
All good, all bad.
mostly good. Actually, no, pretty much all good. Hey. Hey, no, man. Thank you so much for jumping in. I just
want to keep the lights on. At least until you got back.
Exactly, because Star Wars took a bit of a back seat these last few months, to be honest. And we were doing the show, but there were some Star Warsy withdrawals, and I'll get into that a little bit here in a second. But before I do, let me bring in. He's like a fine wine. The longer he's been with the show, the better it gets. It's Mr. Mark Herleman. Why did I say Mr. Mark? Mr. Mark Herleman. Welcome, Mr.
It's a Mr. lady.
Man,
it's been too long. I swear the last time me and you talked, it was like a month before we talked and then another month after that.
I know. We've been on far too
few. If it wasn't for Bruce, man, I'd be jonesing at this point. Like, I need a blit and fix, man.
Yeah. No, I think that's the thing, because this year We've had the Rogue One fallout, but since then, here's the thing. It just immediately, this is what happens with Star Wars, is that all the stories and the rumor mill, I feel like, starts up faster and faster, even faster than after The Force Awakens. After Rogue One, I feel like everyone just is how about that Darth Vader scene? Let's talk about The Last Jedi! Right? I don't know. That just seemed... It's so fast paced. All the rumors. I am fortunately and somewhat intentionally behind on a lot of the rumors and spoilers, and it's just been hard because I finished up this last semester and then I finished dead as a dog at the beginning of May. Graduated, did the ROTC and Air Force commissioning happened, and after that I had a phone call with Bruce. I'm like, well, I hope you enjoy the Star Wars for the next few weeks.
Yeah, that was great. I think it was on a Friday because we were going to record Saturday, and you're like, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Do the show tomorrow. I won't be there. Mark's camping. Go ahead. I'm like,
go for it.
Hey, Scott Rifen, you available?
Yep. Yeah, big thank you to Scott Rifen, who jumped in and co-hosted, as well as the inimitable Steve Glosson and the always trolling Michael Morris, who jumped in and helped you guys along the way. And that was some fun stuff. I was listening to Steve trolling me. I was on a bus in Dublin. We had just returned. We'd made a big trip around the whole country and finally gotten back to Dublin, and I was listening to that episode and I was like, all right, I got it. It was pretty funny. But nice job, sir. And if you guys haven't listened to the last few episodes, jump back in. As I did, I was catching up along the way. Which, by the way, Wi-Fi and technology and stuff, great in Dublin. Not great in the Irish countryside.
Not on Skellig Michael.
No, not on the middle of the rock in the ocean that is Luke's hideout. but although you bring it up, sir, and I think that's we have to start. Guys, I've seen The Last Jedi Temple, basically. Listen, guys. I'm aware I'm culturally sensitive, okay? All right? All right, stop it. If you're listening to this right now, whatever you're thinking,
how
stop
are you thinking. Culturally sensitive? Wait, what?
Listen, I understand that in the like in the 7th century, ancient Christian monks sailed miles off the shore of Ireland and set up this incredible on this rock in the ocean, this steep climb, carved in stone these ancient steps with some of the earliest Christian crosses, a graveyard, these incredible stone structures that are more than 1,000 years old. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. And also Luke Skywalker was there. That's why I felt so guilty, because like it's about half and half. It's an incredible, like, it's a NASCO, whatever they call it. It's a UNESCO like World Heritage Site. This incredible ancient structure where they shot the Force Awakens in the Last Jedi scenes with Luke, and I actually appreciated that. That in and of itself is worth the trip. But also you get to that point when you're walking up the steps, and I looked over to my left. I'm like, there's the Luke. There's the grave thing. There's the stone. It's Luke Skywalker. And I was just trying not to nerd out too much.
Do you have like a tour guide taking you through this, or they just let you go run
sort of
amok?
I'll walk you guys through it, because this is fascinating to me, because this is the experience I went through in Ireland. Ireland was a family trip and vacation, first and foremost. We went all around the country, visited almost every major city. But part of it, I'm like, if you're going to go, we're going to Skellig Michael.
Right. So your parents are on this trip, and you have a sister
and of course
Bethany.
I'm the one. Yeah, and of course it's me, Bethany, and my parents. It's just us. It's a family trip. We haven't been together on a trip in like a decade. Really looking forward to it. And listen, we were thinking of things to do post graduation, a good family trip that we could go on. And I'm like, hey guys, you know Ireland's nice. Proceed through Gate 47. You know, like it's a great country. but also there's the whole as I horribly hum John Williams. There's that. We need to go to Skellig Michael. And here's the thing: it's tough to get a booking because they can only book so many tourists on the site per year in specific months. Like it starts in May. We were towards the beginning of the season, and it goes to the end of summer, and then in the winter, nothing. And the reason is because the North Atlantic is a son of a gun.
Put it beast!
That way. It is not a fun trip over, because here's how it works. There's this tiny, tiny sea village, Port Magee, Ireland. And it is the point nearest. It's the smallest village. It's a little fishing village that you can charter. There's about a dozen small tour boats. And man, that is the industry in this little town. It's just people going to visit Skellig Michael. And you contract usually months ahead if you want to get it. We got about a month ahead, and we barely got a spot. And then you just show up and you pray the weather's right, because the captains will not take you in bad weather. Even just like a little bit of a storm and clouds will rock the sea enough to where you just can't take, you know, civilian passengers, people who aren't used to the sea. Even then, every single one of the passengers on our boat, we had about a dozen, was sick. So I'll just leave it at that.
So and these dozen, were they there to see the island, or were they there because of Star Wars?
About half and half, I'm going to say. About half and half. And see, that's the thing is that you always know who, because you have everyone who just walks past the Luke Skywalker site to go on to the monastery, and then you have all the nerds who stop and are like, look, oh, there's the stone. And that's what we're doing. So like we made the journey, but only after being treacherously ill. Like, it's a decent-sized fishing boat. It is not like a dinghy that you go over there on, because it's several miles off the coast. It's just short of an hour full-motored boat ride. Because you can barely – it's like a speck in the distance when you start, and then by the time you get there, it's this monstrous rock in the sea. Which, fun fact, that's what Skellig means in Gaelic, rock in the sea. So you get there.
Did anybody there know the history of the place itself that were able to, while you were there, give you
fortunately
the pointers?
Like, they have a couple safety guides who live on by the way, how about this gig? They live on the island. They have a little semi-modern living facility at the bottom. But you have this ancient stone pier, and it's literally just carved out of rock. Like, the boat pulls up, and of course they've poured they've done a leveled concrete, but that's over the old literal just rock pier, because like I say, it juts out at a really sharp angle when you arrive on the boat. So like you have this little tiny concrete platform that you get on, which, by the way, waves rush over the top of at high tide, which my salty, wet shoes will tell you. Like, if you can get slipped off those things.
You don't want to climb the steps
with
wet shoes.
Which, by the way, you know the shot of Rey staring off into the ocean in the new Last Jedi trailer?
Yes.
I'm 99% sure that shot is her standing on that little, concrete dock looking across this tiny little bay. But anyway, it's cool. I'm nerding out because that's what I was doing there. And we showed up.
I hadn't thought about that because when you see The Last Jedi, you're going to see additional scenes.
Yep.
And you're probably going to say, oh, I remember seeing that.
Yep. No, it's so true. We wanted to recreate all the shots from The Last Jedi trailer that were on Skellig or looked like Skellig. There, but
I see some really good ones you two did. Like
we
the
did.
One of Bethany doing Rey. I was like, oh my god! Like they really worked their homework on this.
We have a ton of photos and pictures, none of which we've posted, and I feel bad about it. I have an entire vlog that I shot while we were there that I'll be putting up later. But that's after I talk about the celebration vlog, which we'll do at a later point in the show.
So the tour guides that are there, how much detail did they have of Star Wars information versus the early Christian settlers? Because I'm kind of curious early Christian settlers. I'm like,
sure.
Why in the hell would they choose to go out on that rock?
They're
in the
very
middle
pious
of nowhere
monks,
at that time.
Because that's all that you would do. It's like, I know, I have a brilliant idea. I want to get closer to God. I'm going to go on this remote rock in the sea and eat fish eggs and grow my own vegetables, and that's how I will make my living. And
so that's like the official story they gave you. It wasn't like, well, we were like, forget that Pope. We're going to go out here and do our own thing, and we're going to worship the leprechauns. Oh, by golly.
No, definitely not. No, as far as the tour guides go, they're sick of Star Wars. I'm not going to lie. The Star Wars side of it, they're tolerant, but you can tell. Like, the nerdery. Because the tour guides, well, so you have the guides are one at the very bottom of the 600 steps. And it is literally just narrow steps along a really sharp, almost cliff face. You have beautiful shrubs and flowers growing along this treacherous cliff to the sea. And it's like that on both sides. It's only enough of an angle where they could make the stone steps on one side of the island, on the westward Atlantic side.
So from a first-person point of view, I mean, because, you know, when you see these things from a movie and stuff, it doesn't look so treacherous. But when you're walking it, is it one of those, like, it's so steep you're, like, leaning in on the mountain?
Yes. You
you're like,
better
I don't dare
believe
slip.
It. You bet. Oh. It's just like you peek over to your left, you're like, whoo, hello. It's, it is a treacherous climb. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you have two different tour guides. The first tour guide is the do not run on the steps, do not run on the steps, do not run on the steps. I definitely ran on the steps. I can. I broke Mark.
It's like you lifeguarding telling people don't run around the pool.
Exactly.
And they do it.
And they have a whistle, too. They're not going to stop them anyway. Then you have the guy at the top who's at the monastery. And so just to bring this kind of back to Star Wars specifically, the rock is shaped sort of like a saddle. You have a meadow in the middle. That's where Luke is standing and where Rey is standing across from him. Those two shots is this sort of meadow that's very small in the center of the island. And then the saddle juts up towards one higher rocky outcropping and the other rocky outcropping. And the other rocky outcropping is on the north side. And the north side of the island, you go up the further steps. Those are the steps that you see Rey initially walking up in the first shot where she is. And you see this long staircase where the shot's kind of from her feet looking up the steps, which I definitely replicated in something that's coming up. Those steps are the ones that lead up to the monastery. In the movie, you see the monastery before you see any steps, pretty much, because you see her land, and she's kind of like looking around the cool stones and stuff. That's actually at the top point of the island. So it's kind of the movie shows it out of chronological order of the way you would actually walk it up. But it was fascinating. As Bethany and I went up, you're struck by the beauty of the place, by the history, and by the Star Wars! Whee!
So when you're seeing these steps and these locations that you see in the movie, what do you feel? What are you thinking as soon as you see? Are you, like, just blown away?
Are you kidding me? Da 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 da. I'm definitely doing that the whole
time.
Did
you play the Jedi Step song? And like, did you bring the music with you?
I did, and I forgot to listen to it while I walked up the steps because I was so focused. Bethany and I were either taking in the stark beauty or desperately going through. I felt bad. I want to go again just to appreciate it more. Because here's the thing: you have 3 hours, and that's your window of time. And it's not a lot.
That's not much time.
Because, listen, it takes, like, normally 40 minutes to go up the steps. Bethany and I were booking it, and even with pictures, we got up there in, like, less than half an hour. We got down in 12 minutes. I'm not going to lie. That was because we stretched our time as much as we possibly could. And that's definitely the part where I ran down the steps. And there's definitely footage of me running down the steps with a sharp cliff face of the ocean just to my right. And, yes, I was shooting a vlog while I did that. I'm an idiot.
Were your parents with you at all? Or they're, no one was sitting there going, oh, God,
I'm super proud of my parents. Both went, and both went up all the steps. And went to the top into the monastery. Not nearly as fast. We actually agreed ahead of time that because of the importance of Bethany and I wanting to get photos there and wanting to shoot stuff for the vlog and shoot stuff for the documentary that I was working on, and the window of time, I knew that, you know, we wanted a solid hour to see the monastery and hear the tour guide. We ended up only taking like maybe 20 minutes to do that. All the rest of it was just taking it in. And Bethany and I were madly taking photos, shooting video and stuff like that. And I felt kind of bad about it in some ways, but we also – not at all, because we have some incredible photography and video that was shot there. I can't wait to share it with you guys.
See, I can only imagine, because the only thing like that I've ever really done has been the lava beds. I mean, you can go to Captain Jack's stronghold and walk the 2 mile route and stuff, and they can tell you, you know, this is where he was camping, this is where that happened, and that kind of stuff. And we've been going there year in, year out, and we still haven't even looked at all the stuff. I couldn't imagine something like that. So in the realm of the monastery, I mean, I'm curious about that, both in the real world aspect as well as the Star Wars. Like, how many buildings were there real wise, and how many of those buildings do you think will be transcribed into Star Wars? Because I know, like how you said, it was out of context, so we know we've seen at least one of those buildings in Star Wars on that island having existed in Star Wars. Do you think that it's going to be more than just one, or do you think they're purposely going to leave it at one? Because the trailer kind of alludes that Luke's living inside that old husk of a tree.
Yeah.
And not in the building.
Yeah, where was the tree?
There was no forest tree there, sadly. That was constructed separately. But to answer your question, it sort of reminds me of I'm trying to think of a good way to describe it, because the construction is very inconsistent. Different types of stone structures that are all fairly low-lying. Nothing's going to be very high because it's just the nature of the way it's built. But really complex, like, well-done stuff. I mean, it's still standing there today after being there for, you know, 1600 years. So it's just these stone structures. There's the famous beehive, which is in the movie. That's probably the biggest structure, mm-hmm. and you can walk inside it. It's about 4.5 feet tall, 5 feet tall, so I have to duck a little bit. But you can just walk through it, look inside, look up. And there were set photos with beehive structures that they built when they shot in County Kerry, because they shot, quote-unquote, Skellig Michael Achu.
Bless you.
Thank you. for that planet, they shot more stuff in County Kerry because it's really expensive and very, very narrow window of time to shoot on Skellig Michael itself. So to answer your question, there's a graveyard. There's some small square stone structures that go into the side of the cliff / half cliff, half hillside, you know, at the top. Mm-hmm. And then there's this incredible, like, 6 foot tall ancient Christian crosses. It's a stone cross, one of the oldest in the world of its kind. And so, like, all those structures, I mean, it's perfect. It's exactly, if I were a location scout saying, what would the ruins of an ancient Jedi temple be? How about the ruins of an ancient Christian monastery on a remote island? Yeah. Like, it's the perfect location.
Wow. And
you have to wonder, like, when they got there, were they like, look at how rocky it is. We can make some buildings out of this. Like were the rocks taken from the island itself? Did they ship them over? Did they pull them out of the ocean?
Because the stone steps are chipped into the side of the mountain and, like, slate rocks that are stacked. And the stonework almost certainly has to come from the island itself. But it is beautifully done. Mm. And it still stands today. Like, it just takes hundreds and hundreds of tourists to go up and down those stairs reliably to this day.
Well, I mean, as Star Wars fans, we're definitely interested in this, but, I mean, it just I'm just fascinated to go sometime just to learn the history of how that's done. And like you said, it's been there for 1,600 years. I mean, it's just interesting. This is something I never heard about until this movie was filmed there.
It's twofold because it enlightened me both in the history of the place and how that applies so well to the mythology of Star Wars just visually.
Yeah.
And my personal interest because of my faith and my interest in the history of it. But also more so, it kind of enlightened me to this subsection of fandom that I'd never been a part of, and that is the people who like to go to locations that were shot. Mm-hmm. Going to this really did kind of shine a light on something that I think it would be really cool to visit Tunisia and see the homestead, or go to Italy for some of the stuff from
Naboo. When are we doing that?
Yeah, let's. You free next weekend, Bruce? You want to fly out to Tunisia?
Not next weekend, but the weekend after. You ready, Mark?
But seriously, I think it's going to make me seek out more film locations, especially I'm going to New Zealand. I'm going to go see Hobbiton. Like now, it's going to happen.
That would be cool.
Definitely. And just some absolutely incredible. In County Kerry, specifically in Ireland, it's sort of this pure green toned version of New Zealand. If you're a Lord of the Rings fan. And so that specific part of it just blew me away. And Bruce, if you'd come around, I'm going to do kind of a visual. We're going on an adventure. No, I'm going to do a visual thing as we kind of get towards the closing of this part of the segment because I took tons of video. But this is kind of what it looks like, Bruce. You'd see these steps and some of the walls and stuff and just the sharp cliff side as you would walk along it. And it would just be there, and more of it, and more of it, and more of it. And yes, Bruce, we're looking right now at my camera roll, my iPhoto camera roll on my MacBook. And yes, here in chronological order are the screenshots I took of the trailer to find the right spots of Ray walking along.
Nice.
And now
played.
And now that I've gone back to the now that I've gone back here, and I can look at the Force Awakens and that final scene. There's this clear personal recognition that I really like. And we did all kinds of fun, like, photo shoot type stuff. And there's just ancient structures everywhere. I just hope they just keep going. Just because of how much I like the location, I just want to see a lot more of Achu.
Bless you.
Well, and you've Thank definitely you. Got to go to one place to get an OT thing, because you guys also stopped at a prequel destination. You guys stopped at the Jedi Academy's old library.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And in fact, so that was the Book of Kells at the library at Trinity College, which I went to last year when I went to Dublin. I went and saw the Jedi Temple Library. I did not go this time around. That was Bethany, but it is quite remarkable. Bruce, I just want to give you an idea of just what County Kerry looks like. This is County Kerry. We're going to put this photo in the show notes. Because you just can't explain this stuff well enough. So all I'm going to do is literally mail it to Bruce.
It looks cold. It's overcast. It's dark.
Yeah. And so, Bruce, what I'm going to have you do is just put this in this week's show notes. If I can get the... Does it have Bruce? Yeah, there he is. Bruce Gibson. I'm now sending him the photo. This is great podcasting.
So I have to ask one thing. About this whole Skellig Michael.
Okay, I've sent you the photo, so sorry to interrupt. If you're listening to this podcast, go right now to the show notes for episode 284, and you're going to see a panoramic shot that I shot at County Kerry. This is not on the island, but this is the kind of environment that this stuff is. So, go look at the picture, and I'll probably include some more, too. You were saying, Bruce.
So you stood where
I stood.
Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, stood at the end of The Force Awakens. And there's something about that shot that there's debate about.
Oh, yes.
If there's a gravestone or not. Now, if there is a gravestone where Luke is standing, possibly that could be a prop. But in the pictures I'm seeing, that is an actual rock face that, or some kind of flat rock that sits like that. That's part of the island. That's not a prop. So that's something that exists on Skellig Michael.
Yes, it is an actual stone.
But is it a gravesite?
No, it is not. There is a gravesite on the island. It is definitely not a gravesite. And I know this has been disproven, but not largely. A lot of people still question it because it's not like a common knowledge thing, but it's definitely not a grave. Sorry to disappoint anyone who has like fan theories of that being Mara Jade. Sorry. I don't know if that would be worse of them acknowledging Mara Jade for EU fans, but she's dead and that's the grave, or if it would be worse.
No, that would be so hard. That would be harsh, like... on such a bad level. Like, as somebody who would love to see that transition, I don't think that's how I'd want to see it go down. Like, hey, she's dead.
Yeah. No. Bruce, I apologize for making you come around again to look at the laptop. Here's a very clear shot in the video of me standing there like Luke Skywalker freaking does and turning around slowly and staring at the camera. Because why not? If you're there, you got to do it. So this is me, and you can see there, it's the so-called grave, but you're gonna see it there. If you look next to it, it's about as high as my shin. It's not a large rock. It just happens to be sitting there, and that's it. That's all it is. It's just a rock kind of sitting there.
That's gotta be weird standing there.
It is so surreal.
It is a rock.
It is
on an island. And the rock is nice. No grave, and a Jedi got to die.
It's so true, so true. Oh man, so there it was. It was an incredible experience. Have I missed anything, guys? Is there any like burning questions that you have based on the experience? I feel like I've done a good job of covering it so far. I would hope.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, basically, the only thing of interest now is just the religious aspect of how they got there in the first place.
Yeah, good place to avoid Viking raiders, by the way. Just, they wouldn't even think to go out there. Oh, man. Yeah.
And Bethany, she was
like, we found an island! Yeah, there's Bethany a bigger one right over there!
A lot of the point was we did two things. We shot for the vlog I did there. I shot to do a special... I'm talking around this, but I'm just going to start... I'm just going to transition to plug it now. I shot a special introduction and closing remarks for the Star Wars Celebration mini documentary that I shot while we were there, entitled "Faith in My Friends," which is the title of the upcoming just short of 20-minute documentary. It's no longer a vlog; it transformed. I joked with Bruce. I screened it with him and his wife and kids today. At just kind of, I had the friends and family screening. I had the family screening, and now I have the friends screening.
Right,
and it was so much fun to make and put together, and it really is a chronicling of our experience. And I wanted to really, as I was editing it together, I really saw a threaded theme, and I wanted to call attention to it. So I thought, well, I was going to sit down like in my studio at the house and do a few opening comments before the video. I'm like, wait a second, if you're going to do an introduction, you're going to shoot a little intro for your video. There's one place I'm going to do it, and that's freaking Skellig Michael. So I like scratched together notes for the comments I wanted to say at the beginning on this wrinkled piece of paper I still have in my room of, like, these are the couple quick points of what I want to say. And that's the title of the documentary, as you might imagine. It's called "Faith in My Friends," based off of the quote in Return of the Jedi, "Your faith in your friends is yours." Because that's the theme. That's what Star Wars is for me. It's about friendship, and not just the friendship in the movie, but the ones I make through it. And so that's the theme of the Star Wars Celebration Orlando mini documentary that we will be premiering on June 12th. Mark your calendars, Monday, June 12th. Mark, would you make a note of that in the show notes? That'd be awesome. And we'll get the word out. If you are a podcaster and listening to this, I'm going to be totally shameless. I'm really proud of this, and I put an obscene amount of time into editing it. I think it's really good. Bruce is nodding, so I hope he agrees.
Yes, it's very good. I now have a copy. I'm going to rewatch it.
Good, good. And I'm very proud of it. It's the kind of the shenanigans and the experience of Celebration, but it's shot and edited to where it's like sharing the experience with us, but also showcasing to me what fandom is about, and that's our friendships. Mark, you're in it. By the way, I know you weren't able to go, but I had to throw in like a quick shot of you and spoiler alert, Steve Glosson is too. So if you're a podcaster and listening to this, and you in the next week you're recording, and you especially if you know me and you're in the video, which is pretty much everybody, I need to email a lot of people because there's a ton of people in this. I want to really get the word out on this. So if you want to share it or you want to help out with that, I want to actually properly try to get the word out and have it launch Monday morning just in time to really get the word out. So email me Riley@StarWarsReport.com if you want to just help me get the word out. And we're going to do like a coordinated release, and it's going to be on Facebook, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport, so that that's the easiest, most shareable way to get it out, I think, to the most people. And we can tag people and that sort of thing. So just send me a quick personal email if you want to be on basically the virtual Star Wars Report street team to help get this the word out on this thing. Riley@StarWarsReport.com, and let me know, and I will get you, not only that, I will get you an early copy. So if you want to watch it now, I'll just send it to you. And then also when like the launch happens, we can all like coordinate to help get the word out and help showcase it to the world.
I want an early copy.
Yeah, no, Mark, I just need to re-render it. I misspelled a word. I misspelled Hollywood in Hollywood Studios. I'm so mad at myself. I have to go in and change that little subtitle.
I didn't catch it when I watched it. Does it say
it's one holy? L? It's one L. Hollywood. It's Hollywood Studios. I'm like, come on, Riley. Oh, man. So, yeah, faith in my friends.
You were in such a holy bliss at that moment. It's like, yeah, I'm going with it.
Monday, June 12th. Make sure you check it out. And if you want to help out, get the word out, Riley@StarWarsReport.com. All right.
Whew. Wait, that definitely sounds newsworthy in and of itself, you know? Mm-hmm.
I feel like it sure does. Yeah, you saying something, Mark? Is that something? I don't get it, Mark. You feel like
there's
you're doing something.
No news like good news.
I feel like are we leading somewhere?
Always leading us somewhere.
Are we going somewhere?
Except up the Jedi steps.
We have something to report. That's good news.
The Boffin spies have brought us some information.
We have some news, and that is Pablo Hidalgo. It's Hidalgo, everybody, not Hidalgo. That's a pet peeve of mine.
Hidalgo.
All right. Hidalgo. That's how we're starting off the segment. Everybody, it's pronounced Hidalgo. Pablo Hidalgo. He was at Comic-Con Chile this weekend. No, not the cold Comic-Con, the one in Chile, the country. And seems to have statements that have maybe been lost in translation a little bit. But it's the news of Luke and Leia. Luke and Leia. Do 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 do, wah, 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 wah. I'm just gonna do the whole rest of the show like this. Wah, 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 wah. All right, now stop. so Mark, what's the deal with Pablo here? What are we? So we're
well.
How much are they? Are Luke and Leia gonna be around? Are they gonna
rumors? There's been a lot of rumors since the Vanity Fair layout that was celebrating the 40th anniversary, and some of those rumors have been circulating for months that Luke and Leia would finally reunite in The Last Jedi. But no, Pablo is trying to dispel some of that. According to Pablo himself, it's not true at all.
What? But we saw in Vanity Fair, you see them on set together.
Yeah, and they're giving each other big old hug
with
big old
the dogs.
Brother sister hug. And
yeah, IO9, they reached out to Hidalgo for confirmation where he told us that he merely was referring to the actors' reunion in the Vanity Fair photo. Which makes more sense when it's put in perspective.
So what they meant here's what happened. He was talking about the fact that the photo shoot isn't like from the movie. That's not like a shot from the movie of them hugging. It's a shot of the photo shoot. I'm betting you anything that's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce, you don't look convinced.
I'm gonna lay money down on this one. Luke and Leia will have a scene together in this movie. I'm convinced of it.
No, definitely.
I don't care what Pablo says. Even after I see the movie, Pablo is like, no, they weren't really together. No, they weren't. I know. I wanted to go into Lucas. Hey. I think Pablo's trying to be the next George Lucas.
But why not admit it though? I mean, you know, is it just that their scene together is literally one scene, and then to release that? Well, yeah, they're gonna have a scene together, and everybody sees, and they're like, it was one scene. It's like Luke getting one word in the film, and he didn't even get that. Like,
well, you know how people are. It's literally contractual. You're just not supposed to reveal any plot points in the movie. They have a marketing team. The marketing team wants to reveal the Luke and Leia talk to each other about how they're dealing with Han's loss at some point, and they want to reveal that in an exclusive, you know, trailer or something. There's something like that, and they can't. You're not supposed to reveal anything out of turn at these Q&A things. This is what drives me crazy about it, because people are. I understand why, but whenever you do a convention or you see some of these actors, here's a new good rule of thumb. If you're at a convention at a panel with an actor who's working on a future project, do not ask said actor about the future project. You will not get any good answers.
Unless you're 8 years old.
Well, yeah, and talking today,
yeah,
plenty.
Yeah, right.
Hey, John Boyega just posted on Instagram. He's the proud owner of Finn's new blaster, thanks to Ryan Johnson, and he shows this really cool screen grab of Finn's blaster. So it's I've got to say, looking at this blaster, it's got to be really hard to handle that thing when you're sealed in that cybernetic chamber. I'm really impressed that he's able to do that. No. It's cool. You can see it. We'll link to it in the show notes. It's a video. I'm curious. Let's see if it.
Yeah, it's like a little GIF. It's him basically shooting it and it lighting up.
It does. It lights up. You can kind of see the blaster bolt. You can see the blaster bolt go there. Hey, no blasters! No blasters!
It's like a disco blaster.
Yeah. It's also a lot like the one that Poe had in The Force Awakens as well.
It is. It's a smaller blaster than the one he had.
Poe's gonna be like, first you take my jacket, now you take my gun. I thought you were dealing with swords.
Hey yo, took us what? Never mind. We're gonna go for Ryan Johnson. His comments on a little bit of romance in The Last Jedi, and they've sent some tremors for the hopes of a few of the trilogy's shipping communities. ladies and gentlemen, let's set sail. Get it? Because, like, their shipping is... Okay, all right. Here's the... Adam Driver may be the only person not charmed by a John Boyega hug and other Last Jedi tidbits. Props to Dunk at Jedi News. At Club Jade, rather. The queen of snarky Star Wars headlines since, like, 1999. She's amazing. Of course, we had Vanity Fair following up on their blockbuster story portfolio with a ton of Last Jedi pictures. You guys have already talked about so much of that. But also, this one of Adam Driver as Kylo Ren.
That photo?
Yeah, I love it.
I hate it.
Why? It looks like he's at a...
Oh, yeah, why do you hate it?
It looks like he's at a rock concert lifting it up. He's like, yeah, turn it up.
No. I'm going to take...
Bruce doesn't hate anything Star Wars.
I know. Where is this coming from?
Well, you're right, Mark. I don't hate it, but I don't love it. Okay? But it's... I guess because when I saw the video of the photo shoot, he's just like twirling all around with the lightsaber, and I feel like, you know, this is just a capture of that. But what really cracks me up now every time I see this is someone photoshopped this image of him into an exercise video. and it took out the lightsaber. So every time I see this, it looks like he's doing the stretch. One, two.
And the arms go up. Right. Two, three, four, and down. Two, three. Right.
Yeah, I retweet it. If you go to my Twitter feed, you'll see it there.
That's hilarious.
That's Admiral_Rex.
Well,
by the way.
Well played, sir. But specifically, let's talk romance. Quote: this is direct from the horse's mouth.
Oh, we're going to talk about your romance, your romantic life, Riley. This is really exciting. How's that
boy.
Going?
Yeah, it's great. Going fantastic. Let me tell you, like
Saturday night, you're visiting my house. Yeah, things
are
going
let
great,
me just. Oh, he's so so true. All right, All right, here's the quote from Ryan Johnson. Focus, everybody. Johnson says, "There's no one-to-one equivalent of the Han to Leia burning unrequited love. In our story, that's not a centerpiece." All right, I have thoughts. I'm scratching my head. That's how many thoughts I have. No burning... Does Star Wars need romance, Bruce?
Yes.
Thank you. I miss it.
Every trilogy has romance, but this one.
I miss Star Wars romance.
We had a bromance, and then they're all like, "No, Finn and Poe aren't
Bruce,
getting together."
I just want hold me.
No, you're not getting
like
the romance.
You did on the lake in Naboo. all right, no, not that kind of romance. I do not miss that romance.
I think we will get some romance somewhere in this trilogy,
but not The Last Jedi. Well, maybe that'll.
Well, why do you think that, though, Bruce? Because, like, I was thinking about the fact that they originally had the scene with Poe meeting up with Rey and kind of alluding that there may be something there, and then they cut that from The Force Awakens. Then they say, no, there's no romance between Poe and Finn. It's almost like they've gone out of their way to de-romance the sequel trilogy as much as
they can. I agree. Well, I kind of agree
okay,
with you, Mark.
But, okay, that's just in that movie, but now we have The Last Jedi, and you're thinking of Rey.
Listen,
it doesn't have to be Rey.
No. Can it be?
It could be Finn and this new character. I can't remember her name.
Rose.
Yeah, Rose.
It could be Rose.
It could be Rose.
A Rose by any other name is not Finn's name.
Okay, all right, Mark. He has this sheepish grin, this voodoo eating grin on his face. All right. No, I miss romance. I do.
Captain Phasma, she's looking for something, right?
Guess what? Listen, General Hux is going to walk around the corner and just be like, Captain Phasma! That's what we call a callback. And then you're going to just hear, we found love right where we are. Everybody, thanks for listening to the Star Wars Report podcast.
Phasma, that's another thing. That old Hidalgo clarified, too, when he clarified that we'll see her without her helmet. He was, again, referring to the Vanity Fair shoot. So we may not ever see her take it off. Although she does have that cool new extendable force pipe.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, that's true. That. I did like that. Was pretty sweet. I know you guys have talked about the photos.
I've decided from here on out, I'm not listening to Pablo. He's just a tease.
Listen, someday somebody's going to write Pablo Hidalgo's Pablo Hidalgo's biography, right? Actually, who are we kidding? Pablo's going to write his autobiography, and the title is going to be Pablo Clarified, comma. But that's going to be the only part, because that's literally all he does. Right. Pablo Clarified, because like read any piece on any Star Wars rumor ever, and you're just at some point you're going to find the words Pablo Hidalgo Clarified, comma.
He'll write his autobiography.
Pablo clarifies Anakin hates sand.
He'll never publish it. He'll just tease about it all the time.
What? Well, that's what I wonder about the whole Luke and Leia meeting up thing. You know it's going to only be on hologram. Luke's like so far away. He's not going to be able to get to Leia. And everybody's going to be like,
sure.
Dang it, that's as good as we get. Like, no! Just no win in here. No win in here.
If anybody from Lucasfilm is listening to this, please share this with Pablo.
I've given up on that long ago.
Oh, they're listening. Somebody's listening.
Sure, Bruce.
I do know somebody's listening. I do know.
All right, fine, sure. I'll take your word for it. Yeah, that was a thing. oh, my goodness. Hey, 501st turned 20. Big old congratulations to Vader's 5th. It's the 20th. Can you believe that? 20 years of the 501st.
Gosh, that's like your age, isn't it?
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. That's where if you start calling me the kids. Or something. No, thank you.
I didn't realize they've been around 20 years.
I've outlasted the 501st by 5 years. Thank you very much. Hey, I didn't realize until I watched the 501st documentary. Have you seen it, the one that comes on the Blu-ray? It chronicles like the 501st,
Wait,
how it was
which
founded.
Blu-ray?
It's the Saga Blu-ray set. And and it chronicles like the Rose Parade and the founding, and that's kind of the the penultimate climax of the film, and you get to see that. The first time I ever heard about the 501st was some stories going around fandom when they went in the Rose Parade, and there was this commentator making fun of them, and everyone was really upset because the commentator didn't realize that this organization is built around doing charity work. And he's like, oh, look at all these nerds dressing up. I bet they live in their mom's basement. And there's a decent amount of backlash for that. And since then, that's kind of a microcosm of what I think mainstream society, the 501st, has been slowly getting out. Anyone who knows about Star Wars fandom more than just a passing amount knows about the 501st and knows what the 501st is about, which I love because that's a great ambassadorship for Star Wars fandom. So a big old happy 20 to the 501st and some just incredible work that they've done.
It's going
to
be
with over 18,000 members in it, it's like an honor to be inducted into the 501st.
Man, isn't it?
I mean, you got actors and stuff that are out there getting inducted all the time.
Yeah, no.
Other podcasters.
I was going to say, Mark, you know a lot of podcasters have been inducted to the 501st.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It's awesome,
right?
Just in the fact that it's such a community. I mean, it's not just the aspect of the trooping. You know, like you said, you've got the charity work that they're doing, the friendships being built. You've got the costume troops where they get together and they build all the different stuff. I mean, think about the different groups out there, like the Florida garrisons. My God, man, those Florida garrisons and their Clone Wars kits are just
Florida,
unbelievable.
The Florida Wolf Pack. Specifically, that we saw them at Celebration. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's incredible. Nuts. I mean, all the costumes and the 501st, I've been around some of the members where they show me, you know, how they put the uniforms on of like stormtroopers and how, you know, there's a lot of work behind just getting the stuff on and taking it off. I mean, and you're sweating in that stuff. I mean, you know, they're dedicated. I mean, it's going to be incredible when they reach their 501st anniversary. It's just going to be a big
Yeah. See, my first interactions with them was at a small little robot festival, and I met them, and that was when I found out, you know, hey, they'll come and do birthday parties and stuff. And back then, it was like, you just had to make a small donation. Now, like, the local ones, they want like $150 or more. Back then, though, I remember the first time I had a friend of mine came over, and he did my son's second birthday party, and he came alone, and so he needed me to do the armor, help him with the armor. So I got to go out, and I was helping him Velcro it on and clip it in and all that stuff, getting to see how he stores it and stuff. And honestly, like, that's a side of the 501st that very few people ever get to see. And it's definitely one of the more interesting sides. When you see from core to outside the layers that go into the costume and how well they hide the things like the Velcro and the snap clips and the strings and stuff like that, you're like, wow, this is really held together with some strings, some glue, and some duct tape. Yeah. Damn, it looks good.
Yep, no, it's so true. Yeah, so big old congratulations. Seriously, those guys are absolutely amazing. I feel like, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, we need to do some of Boba's bounty.
It was a lot to me. As you wish.
That's what we call like a rogue version, since I don't have my setup. I just played it on the speaker. It is time for Boba's bounty. Excuse me. Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the week when we talk about what we've watched, listened to, discovered, thought about, otherwise smelled, experienced, or placed our grimy hands upon in the world of Star Wars.
Man, why is it when you say that it sounds normal, but when I say it, it sounds like such a dirty, dirty act?
It's Boba's bounty, everybody. Mark, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, because I think Riley took
may
the first
or may
half
not know.
I did take the first half of the show. You were saying, Mark?
As many of you may or may not know, I've been rearranging the studio. So this week I pulled the bookshelf apart because when I first set it back up when we moved in, I didn't realize that I put half of it on upside down. So for the last year and a half, every time I look at my bookshelf, I'm like, the top part's upside down. But I moved that around. I've exchanged some things and stuff, got some new goodies that I don't know if Riley had caught on the last episode. I got the Ewok Village, a couple other cool vintage toys. But I did some painting, got a lot of work done around there. And then today, I actually I joined the Reclamation Society Story Geeks podcast to talk about Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, nice.
And what was very interesting for me was, like, this has been the first time I've really thought about Revenge of the Sith and talked about it since the Clone Wars and Rebels. Well, the Clone Wars is finished and Rebels has done so much with Ahsoka. And so there were a lot of moments where we were talking about, you know, Anakin talking with Yoda about Lost and stuff. And I was just like, what if he's talking about Ahsoka? Like, there were a lot of these moments where, for the first time ever, I was thinking, you know, the whole Obi-Wan and Anakin being equals. Well, they both trained someone at this point. I mean, there was a lot more things that when you think about Ahsoka being involved in it, it changes so much about what you think about what's going on, the motivations of the characters and stuff, or what the other characters are think the motivations of, or characters like Anakin and stuff. So it's kind of interesting. I had a really good time. I had a blast with them. Looking forward to that being posted here recently.
Sweet.
I
got an email from those guys. I couldn't schedule it at the time. Guys, if you're listening, reschedule with me. I'm always bad about it.
Actually, I'm supposed to send you a message that they are willing to do it whenever you and Bethany want.
Oh, what?
Just reach out.
Sweet.
To them.
All right, I'll reach out. I'm really bad about emailing.
Message delivered, Jay. Nathan, I've done it.
Live on the podcast, right there. That's it's as easy as that, guys. You know where to find me. I love showing up on podcasts. That's a lot of fun, actually. That's some of the most fun I've ever had, is really connecting with other podcasts. As you know, mm-hmm. It's just a big. It's a big old good time. Hey, Bruce, you wanna get us to the next part? You know anything Star Wars lately?
I have actually.
Nice shirt, by the way.
Thank you. I'm wearing a Fangirls Going Rogue shirt now. So call out to them. So
I saw Wonder Woman.
I saw Wonder Woman today.
Actually,
it was
we both
awesome.
Did. Yeah, no, it was.
So I reread Lords of the Sith. That book came out in 2015, and I read it then. But then I was scheduled to be on the 602 Club with Matt Rushing to review the book 2 years later, and so I reread it, and you know, I liked it better the second time. It was I liked it the first time, but I liked it even more so the second time. Real quick for. Not two reasons, but here's some reasons why. It's because I think because of Rogue One, I think because of more Rebels and of some of the other materials we've gotten around that time, it just helped to enhance that book for me because this book really fits in well with those other stories that we've got, even, you know, going to Aftermath and some other things. So it's definitely worth a read. If you haven't read it, now would be a good time to read it, I think, with all the other things that have come out since. And also, just to throw out there, I renewed my Star Wars Insider subscription.
Okay.
I had a 3-year subscription.
What?
And it was almost done.
I got to know why. Why, Bruce? Why did you do it? They've already told us there's no exclusive.
Yeah.
And
where were you the night of the 23rd?
For the next
What's
year.
Going on, Bruce?
Everybody else is bailing. Why are you resubscribing?
What's going on?
Because I read everything Star Wars related.
Okay.
There you go.
Except for exclusive fiction and Insider, because it's not coming this year.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know,
but when they confirmed that they're going into 2018 and they're not having any, I was like, I'm out. Like, I love Insider, but I don't love it that much. There's just not enough stuff to really keep me going. I'm like, most of the stuff I see on Club Jade or Jedi News or anywhere else, I'm like, hell, StarWars.com even has more of the stuff on the toys and stuff.
Okay, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm actually a few issues behind in reading my Star Wars Insiders.
Why do you
hate
Star
Wars Insider?
And then
I was like, why should I renew? But I almost feel like I've had subscriptions for so many years. I just feel like I should just...
I stopped my subscription years ago, which I feel like I should go back. There was always like a lot of stuff that I felt like for a time got really repetitive based off of stuff if you'd read on fan sites. And since I follow fan sites, I'd see it all the news and stuff. And you see like some interviews and stuff, but nothing that you would really be that revealing. But I really feel like I like some of the fan features that they've done on the issues I've seen recently.
Fan features,
Riley, the heart of this issue is that Bruce has already been collecting it for so long. He's got to keep collecting it. We already know that you don't collect enough. I understand the struggle because I came in around issue 89, and then I was like, I've got every one except for like 101 because they didn't ship me that one. But then it came down to like, well, I missed 101. Do I really go out and try to find that in the other 89? Then I was like, no, I'm just going to stick with the exclusive fiction. So for me, I was like, I'm out. There's no fiction. I'm out.
Yeah, I really wish the fiction would stay. I hope they bring it back if they change their mind and do put it in there. But I will tell you, I do like some of the exclusive interviews. That's nice. But there's nothing. I'll tell you the real reason why I love getting this magazine.
Okay.
Opening the mailbox, and I see Star Wars in there. And it's always like a thrill when that shows up. Yeah, oh, look, I got Star Wars Insider.
That's it.
It's so great.
You're right. Because I start every issue that I open that excited. And then when I get to the end and I'm like, there's no exclusive fiction. And I'm like all bummed and let down. But if you're not looking for that, then it is Christmas the entire issue.
Exactly. And Riley should be happy that I collect him because I gave him some of mine from the 1990s.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I do. Ooh. I'd totally forgotten about that. Yeah. Ah, that's amazing. That was a few years ago. Yeah, that was when we first met, right?
I actually remember that. I forget that was you, Bruce. I remember when Riley was like, I just got a bunch of Insider magazines given
to me. It was exciting,
me and Bruce,
man.
Riley, we were just talking about this in the post show of last week's episode. We're like, Bruce, you were the first person to order the Star Wars Report t-shirts as a patron. It was like you, and then it was Devin. Like, it was insane. We were going back over all this stuff. We're like, man, you've been there since day one, Bruce.
I have been. What's wrong with me? And I'm also the first... I'm also the first listener to become the producer of the show.
That's true.
So who
true
knows
story.
Who's coming next?
True story. Exactly.
Hey, Neil, give me a call.
Exactly. Well, I do want to take just a brief second before I jump to my pick that I want to just say a big old plug to Patreon. patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That is where you can directly support this very program. And here's the thing, guys. I'll be honest. My goal when I set it up was to always do weekly bonus content. And we've done some Rebels commentaries. We've done some Celebration exclusive. We've done some really fun stuff. But it's not been as weekly as I'd like. And I'm really excited because this month we are working on the complete relaunch and revamp of patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And we're going to have some new bonus content series and totally new reward levels. So here's what I want you to do. Stay tuned. If you can go to patreon.com/StarWarsReport and read all about the different levels that we currently have. And get ready, folks, because we're doing something pretty special here in the very coming future. In fact, we're talking. We have a show meeting. We have a podcast producing show meeting after we record here to talk about that launch. And we're going to have the details for that next week. Also, shamelessly going to take the segment to plug once again facebook.com/StarWarsReport. That is where Monday, June 12th, we will release the Star Wars Celebration Orlando mini documentary. Featuring the likes of myself, Bethany, Bruce, Teresa, Aaron, Matt Rushing, my ROTC buddies, the Jedi News guys show up, the Wampa's Lair guys show up, William Devereaux's all over this thing. It's footage from our crazy improv shows and High Adventure and Anthony Bresnikan and the one and only Scott Reif and Michael Morris. They all make appearances, all kinds of folks. It's going to be amazing. Check it out. It's going to be a video uploaded to StarWarsReport.com/Facebook. No, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. That's what I'm looking for. So I want to plug that too. Hey, this week for Boba's Bounty, I want to highlight this brand new project launched on a YouTube channel I've plugged before. It's James Arnold Taylor's Clone Wars Conversations. Let's take a listen to a sample here. Let's see if I can get this to work. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of the JAT Channel exclusive show, Clone Wars Conversations. I'm your host, James Arnold Taylor. I was also the very fortunate actor who got to play Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi for 6 seasons of the Emmy Award-winning and critically acclaimed hit show Star Wars The Clone Wars.
So there it is. It's a series, Clone Wars Conversations, where he's doing a sort of interview series with some of his pals from the Clone Wars days. And he starts it off with talking to someone who's been on this podcast, by the way. Fun fact, the voice of Duchess Satine, Anna Graves. She's awesome.
Oh, we love Anna
She's
Graves.
Amazing and super, super cool. You can check it out at James Arnold Taylor's YouTube channel. Which I wonder if he has a hot link to that. I'm testing right now. Nope, it's just James Arnold Taylor. Search for him on YouTube. You'll find his channel very fast. And he's got the Duchess Satine. He's got all kinds of really cool stuff that you can see. So check it out. Clone Wars Conversations, James Arnold Taylor's YouTube channel. I don't know why I did that. Am I missing anything, Bruce? Are we forgetting? Oh, we have some.
No.
We have a spoiler, right?
Yeah, we got spoilers.
We are far into the show too, man. This is a long one. I blabbed on a long time.
You never.
I have to make up for 3 weeks, man.
I'm just kidding.
I'm catching up here.
We have Han Solo. This is all about Han Solo.
Don't. All right, let's make it official, guys. Spoiler alert.
That's a Star Trek sound.
Wait, is it? That is, isn't it? I clicked on the first video. I clicked on the first.
I love it. First red alert
thing I saw, and I was like, oh, that wait, that's definitely Star Trek. Hey,
okay,
yeah.
So Star Trek
spoiler
Discovery
alert.
Is. Oh, sorry.
No, we are doing spoilers for the Han Solo movie. Bruce, why don't you walk me through what's going on here?
No. It's not the Han Solo movie. It's the Han So movie. There's a gun. There's no L.
Yeah, because Mark's looking at the logo where the L is a blaster.
Oh, okay.
I was confused
there for a second. Okay, got it. Okay. I'm riding solo. Also, by the way, everyone's jumped out at this point. I probably should have done like the credits and then jumped to spoilers.
Yeah,
but
fine.
We'll do the credits at the end. We're fine.
Nobody's
We're all fine here.
Now, so.
He's like, ha,
you?
Fooled you.
All right.
Nothing real big here, but okay. This is from...
That's the way I like my spoilers. Nothing real big.
Flickeringmyth.com.
Okay, all right. All
and
right.
They have a short little clip here, video clip, of a...
Hello.
Speeder.
You just got me to click on the show notes, sir. I'm pulling that up right now.
It's a little, like, you know, speeder bike. Well, it's not a speeder bike. It's almost... I don't know what it is. Like,
I saw some big, headlines like about this on Twitter. A speeder tank. I saw some headlines on this on Twitter, and it's, you're right. That is a weird looking thing. No, I do not want the oil of Olvera, whatever the lotion commercial. All right, we're playing it. All right, I'm seeing this kind of cool little video of a. Like, well, it looks like a biker scout.
Yeah, it's a biker scout on this. It's not a, it doesn't look like your traditional speeder.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like what Ray has on Jakku.
Yeah, it's like a like
a smaller version that's gray.
Yeah,
it's
just,
it's almost like if the company that makes mouse droids made speeder bikes.
There you go. I like that.
Good point.
Now, it's interesting to me that the wheels are on the outside of it because I would think that they would take that out, and usually in these vehicles, if they're going to take out the wheels, they're usually under the vehicle. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I would think those are going to come out, the wheels of it, and it would just float.
And what did they do with Ray's speeder when they were doing the principal photography? Did it have wheels, or
it did.
Was it always just up on like a platform?
It had.
They had wheels.
Yeah, they
yeah.
had wheels. Yeah.
And were those wheels on the outside too? Because I'm in the same boat. Like the wheels on the outside, you almost feel like, God, they're not really going to leave the wheels on there, are they?
No. Yeah, you're true. Yeah, no, I'm sure they'll have a way.
I think because of the size of it, I think the wheels were on the outside.
Yeah.
Of Ray's speeder. I'm not. I have to go back and look again, but I, if I recall, I think they were.
Yeah, and this is, of course, this is a power station in Southampton, right on the southern coast of England. Which is pretty interesting. That actually not too far where they shot. A lot of locations around England, I bet they'll be shooting, because if you remember the resistance base, that
yes.
those helicopter shots that showed up of the resistance base that someone found like on a drone.
Really?
If you remember the leaks for The Force Awakens back in the day.
I do.
Yeah.
Why don't you go to our next story, because we actually have
what
looks like from that same location, actually.
Wait, what? I did not. I promise I was not looking at the I had not looked at that section of the notes.
Well, because they're showing you that that location from The Force Awakens.
Oh, sweet. Here. Yeah, this is from Star Wars News Net. My laptop just froze up. Thank you, laptop. Just a few hours ago, showed you a cool image from the Han Solo, a set built in the desert of Fuerteventura. I have no idea where. Fuerteventura.
That's our next trip.
Wherever it is, we're going. Now we have they have a few more exclusive photos giving a better look at this location. What's interesting in the... Where is... All right, I'm stopping it. I'm using the old Safari... Look up Fuerteventura. All right, here, let's find out what on earth is going on here. Safari's
what's
like, I don't...
weird about this film?
Yeah, what's that?
I was thinking about this. This film is the only film so far to basically be one of the new canon books. And by that, I mean all the new canon books so far have been character study books. You've got the Ahsoka, you've got the Lords of the Sith that deal with Palpatine and Vader, you've got Tarkin, you've got Heir to the Jedi, which dealt with Luke. I mean, each one has basically been tailored to a character, right? And for sense and purposes, that's exactly what this is. There is nothing that they've told us about this film that I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to see this. It's we're going to learn about Han's backstory. Okay, anything else? Like with Rogue One,
yeah.
It's like they're going to get the Death Star plans. You know, that's a big major thing. There is nothing that there has been leaked or dropped about this movie aside from supporting cast members that really excites me. We're just supposed to be excited for the fact that we're learning about Han's backstory, which I guess is cool. But I've already kind of done that once before. So I'm like, give me something more than just we're learning about his backstory here. It's time.
I can see that, although. I'm just sold because it's the Lego movie guys. It's Phil Lord and Chris Miller. That's literally all I need to know about this movie.
Well, let me ask you guys this.
Well, and I think that that's it for a lot of people, though, because, like, a lot of people that are already sold on Alden Ehrenreich, they're like, yeah, I mean, you know, I've been on the fence, and admittedly, that's because I haven't watched much stuff with him. But it's usually like people are like, well, I've seen this other stuff, and I know I'm good to go. And, like, I wish I had that faith, but right now I need a little push in the butt. You know, I need a little bit more than that.
I like what you're saying, because we've never had a Star Wars film that's just based on a character. So it makes me wonder, when Lucasfilm and everybody refers to this as a Han Solo movie, is it the Han Solo movie?
We went over this in a podcast earlier. It's the Han and Chewie movie. That's what me and Mark are calling
it. Well, I'm thinking even beyond that. Is it more of an ensemble movie that's Han, Chewie?
Is it Scoundrel Point?
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
Will it invent a new genre called the Han-Hanble? Get it? Get it?
Oh, you're punny. That's...
By the way, when Mark talks, I keep looking over at the speaker like he's sitting there.
Yeah, Mark has this ghostly voice because I have the blue.
I'm like Charlie.
Because, like, the way we're editing this.
All right, angels.
This episode is basically Mark has to record his own audio and we're stitching it together. But, like, during recording, it's just this Bluetooth speaker attached to my laptop across the room. So it's as if you were sitting here in the room with us.
Yeah.
As we're both very... Bruce and I have gotten increasingly chill, just kind of leaning further and further back in the couches here. I feel like that awful joke is the way this episode should end. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this week's episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. It's been a true pleasure and honor to have you join us. We would be honored if you would join us. If you would join us next week, we will be back.
We'd be even more honored if you'd come back.
Bruce is like, actually, Mark is more like, after that joke. That's a desert island off of the coast of the Saharan Desert in Africa. So that's, and there's moisture evaporators. It's cool. It's the Han Solo movie. It's the Lego movie, guys. I'm totally sold on it. But that's another episode of the Star Wars Report podcast in the can. Hey, check out patreon.com/StarWarsReport. A big thank you to everyone supporting us there. We always like to do a featured supporter of the week. This week's big shout-out has to head to Daniel Miller. Thanks for supporting us, Daniel. We really appreciate it, and get to know you on the Skype calls and stuff. Really appreciate your support of the show and meeting you at Celebration. You can join in at patreon.com/StarWarsReport and support the show directly yourself, and get all kinds of sweet bonus content. More to be announced next week on some brand new content we're going to be putting out on Patreon as a way of really making the show even bigger, badder, and better. Also, big thanks to Mr. Mark Hurlman. Thank you, sir. And it's audio. He gave this great salute, everybody. but also, thanks, Mark. We do appreciate it. And, of course, for keeping this ship afloat these last few weeks, Mr. Bruce Gibson. Golf claps there. Thank you, sir. Really appreciate you keeping it.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Huzzah!
You can find Mark on Twitter. It's at IllogicalRogue2. Bruce is on Twitter at Admiral_Rex. And hey, hit me up on Twitter. It's at TheRileyGuy. And then, of course, email me if you want to be on the Star Wars Report Digital Street Team. That's what I'm officially naming it to help the launch of this little mini documentary to get the word out on the day and date. It's all about, like, getting it and sharing it all at once, especially if you run a fan site podcast or anything like that, and I can jump over and help promote it. I'm very proud of this, and it has a really important message. It's called Faith in My Friends, A Story of Celebration, and it premieres Monday morning, June 12th. I've been saying that. That date's burned in my brain. I hope I didn't randomly get it wrong.
No, but, that's right.
All
right,
sweet. And then, of course, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. It's just the username Star Wars Report. Very easy to find there. And, of course, make sure that you go to we have our YouTube channel. We'll be putting up the video there. And then finally, StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. We do appreciate those iTunes reviews. Get them going. Hey, if you're leaving an iTunes review this week, do your shout out to Bruce, because he's the one who kept it going. So if you've been listening these last few weeks and you haven't left an iTunes review yet, let Bruce know his appreciation for him, and get the word out about the show by going to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes.
The other thing I want to add to that is, if you are outside of the United States and leave an iTunes review, please also email us to look for it, because we have to sign
in through different countries
to look for that.
Yeah, because I've gone in and looked occasionally, but that's you often forget, and you don't know where people are reviewing if you're in the United States. So, yeah. Unless you hate the show, in which case, don't. No. StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. That does it for another episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Until next week, folks. We'll see ya. Thank you for riding Star Tours. Bye bye.
Bye bye. I still love the get the hell out of here one.
Oh, me. All right.
Stop.